unending
fountain of grace.
Look at Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read verse 9. Hebrews 6 verse 9 says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." I'm going to talk about that phrase, things that accompany salvation. Just to give you a little bit of understanding of the background, the book of Hebrews was written to a nation of Jews, of Israelites, who had a long history of expecting and of expectation of waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and along with the coming of their Messiah, a restoration of their nation to worldwide prominence and prosperity and health, a healing of their nation and a blessing of their nation, and all kinds of, they were going to be saved from the presence of their enemies. All kinds of things were going to happen. And yet, when the Messiah came, they didn't like Him. They wanted Him to come, but they had a different imagination of what He was going to be like. And He came telling them that their treasured traditions were going to change. Things were going to be different. He was going to be the embodiment, no longer the law of Moses, no longer the sacrifices, no longer the Aaronic priesthood. He was going to be the object. He was going to be the centerpiece of their belief, of their religion. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be the very Son of God with power. And He showed many evidences of it, and yet they just couldn't take it. They couldn't swallow it. They couldn't accept Him as the Messiah, the one that was coming. They rejected Him, and perhaps there were other ulterior reasons for them to reject Him. But the long and short of it is they did reject Him, and so they were rejected. Because they rejected Him, the Bible says, right there in this chapter, says, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Meaning, when the land drinks in the rain that God gives it, and it brings forth briars and thorns rather than good fruit, well, then it's rejected. And it was nigh unto cursing. This book was written perhaps a year or two before the war in Israel, in the land of Judea and Samaria. This war that happened there, where the Jews actually drove out the Romans for a little while, and about 3 years later the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem, and 3 years after that wiped out the last of the revolt and destroyed Israel completely, and along with it all of their national aspirations. Along with it, their temple was gone and all their priesthood was gone and their sacrifices were done. And this book was written in order to prepare the believing Jews to prepare them for this event that was just about to happen. And that's why in verse 8 it says, "This land that bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing," within a few years, to be cursed. And it talks about the Old Testament that was decaying in front of their eyes and was ready to vanish away. And in about 3 or 4 years, it would vanish away. And it's been vanished since then. No temple to this day. No sacrifices, no priesthood, nothing to this day. It's gone. It's over with. But that's what they loved, and that's what they wanted, and that's what they were enthralled with. They loved their temple. It was the eighth wonder of the world, built by Herod the Great. Had brought in marble from somewhere in India and made these huge buildings and walls, and it was glorious. It was sparkly and shining, and even the apostles, when they were with Jesus, said, "Don't you see how beautiful it is? Don't you think this is just wonderful?" And Jesus said, "It's coming real soon. Not one stone's going to be left upon another. You want that temple? You don't want Me. You're all looking at what you've done and what you've got and all how beautiful it is. All the blessings that God has given you. Wow, you want those blessings, but you don't want Me." So we come to this point where He says to these unbelieving Jews, "You're rejected, and there's no hope for you. Your generation cannot even be renewed unto repentance. You're not going to get another shot at it. We're not going to give you another offer. It's done. This nation, this generation is over with. We're going to have to wait for another generation, another day, and it's going to come and be offered again sometime in the future. The promises are still good, but it's not going to happen in your generation. In fact, you're going to lose it all. And that's exactly what did happen. But then he says to those Jews that did believe, he tells them, we're speaking this way because we have to. We've got to explain what's going to happen. He says, though we thus speak, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Now that's the basic context of the passage, but what is interesting to me right here is that phrase that there are some things which accompany salvation. Things that by definition are not salvation itself, but things that accompany it. Things that you would expect among the saved. Right? Wow. Think about how many people are satisfied by God's blessings without salvation. Think about how many people there are in the world that want the blessings, they just don't want God. They don't want to go to hell. They just don't want to live in heaven. This is all over the world. This is basically modern Christianity.
Yes, sir.
This is what you find in churches all over. What they want is what God offers them. They want the prosperity.
Yep.
They want the health. They want all the economic blessings. They want family. They want to live a long time. But that's all they want.
Amen.
They don't want righteousness.
True.
They don't want holiness. They don't want godliness. They don't want to go to church all the time. They don't want to just sing praise. They want what they want. They just don't want to have to always be around God. And that's why they build elaborate temples. Sort of like a cage for God. So God can be their canary in His cage, in His temple. And they can go see God whenever they want. And go listen to Him sing. But then they get to live out in the world however they want. We just keep God caged up over there in that temple. We go to church when we want to feel holy or when we have a need. But God don't come into our lives out here and mess with us out here. Don't mess with my parties. Don't mess with the stuff I want to watch. Don't interfere with my life or my lifestyle outside of your building. You've got your space, God. And we got our space. You do your thing in your space, and we get to do our thing in our space. And it seems like a surprise to them to find out that God is saying, I don't accept those terms. He says, I don't dwell in buildings made with hands. I don't dwell in the temple. He says, if you go to the mountain, you'll find Him there. If you go to the desert, you'll find Him there. If you go to the ultimate part of the sea, you'll find Him there. If you descend into the lowest hell, you'll find Him there. But you go into the temple, you won't find Him. Because He's not going to be caged into a temple. Let me tell you where God is. He's where you work.
Amen.
He's in your living room.
Amen.
You want to know where God is? He's in the parking lot. He's in that traffic that you're driving in all the time. He's there. See, people want what God can offer them. Kind of like the genie. They just want to be able to put Him back in the bottle. That's the way we want. That's what people want out of God. God, give me my healing. People will go to church to get healed.
Amen.
They won't live for God, but they'll go to church to get healed.
All right.
They'll ask the pastor to pray over them. Can you put your hands on... I've had it happen so many times. Can you please lay your hands on my daughter who is sick and pray for her to be healed? And of course I do. I'd be glad to. Absolutely. But what's the point? Why? Why do you want the healing if you don't want the person who heals? What's the point? You see, a lot of people are satisfied with God's blessings without salvation. And there is that. Let me tell you something. People all over the world have been given blessings by God. They've been given enough food to eat. And that's a blessing from God. Because there are people who don't have enough food to eat. They watch their children starve. And so people who have received food from God, enough to eat every single day, never miss a meal, all their life, and they say, wow, this is a real blessing. And maybe they'll notice it. But this is a real blessing, and I've got food from God. He's given enough food. Maybe they'll even pause a moment to thank Him for their food. And they do. They thank Him for the food, and it's wonderful. But they never stop to think that that's really a very small blessing in comparison to salvation.
Amen.
Why would somebody be satisfied with food? Why would somebody be satisfied with 70 years? Or 80 years? Long life. You know what people want? They want long life. And they want a healthy life.
You're right. Amen.
They want a healthy, long life. They want to see their grandchildren and maybe their great-grandchildren.
Right.
And that's good enough. That's all they're asking for. They're not ambitious. They don't want more than that. Well, why? I've got a long life. I've got health. I've got a retirement. I've got 195 channels. I'm in good shape. This is wonderful, they say. And they're satisfied without salvation. They don't need any more than that. That's fine. If you got health, oh, prosperity. You know how people are satisfied if they're prosperous? My goodness, if they've got money in the bank, if they've got plans, if they've got a retirement account, they've got an IRA and a 401k, and they've got a couple of pieces of real estate, and they've got some stuff here and some stuff there, and they got a boat, and they got a couple of new cars, and things are doing good. And you know, if they have that, they don't want salvation. They're not interested in righteousness, not interested in holiness, not interested in knowing God. They don't want to talk about heaven because they got what they want right here. This good enough. I got me a new car. That's good enough. That's all I want. They never reached the point that Solomon reached where he looked at all the stuff he had and said, it's vanity. And it's not just vanity. It's vexation of spirit.
Amen.
It bothers me just to look at it. Because there's no point. There's no meaning. There's nothing else. I got stuff. I got lots of stuff. I don't have room for all my stuff. And that's satisfying to me. That's good enough. And I know that it's in the heart of God, it's in His character to desire to give us this stuff. But He knows that if He just unreservedly just gives us stuff, we don't seek Him. We don't want spiritual things. We don't begin to reflect upon our own sins. We don't see our unacceptability to Him. And so we don't search for Him with all of our heart. And our hearts aren't broken over even the things that we've done that we know that are wrong. And how many things we've done that are wrong that we don't even recognize, that we don't even see. And yet, because God in His heart just wants to give us good stuff, and He does, and He blesses us with stuff, and we go 50, 60, 70 adult years without ever seeking Him, without ever breaking ourselves on that rock so that we could be saved, so we can have eternal life and a relationship with Him. Surely you know what salvation is, right? It's a relationship with God. I know that's a cliche, but it's true. I know that all the churches are saying that, a relationship with God, and it makes it sound very trite. But it's not trite. It's not small. It's not trivial. This is real. A relationship with God. You know how you have a relationship with your wife or your child or your father or your girlfriend, or you have a relationship, you have an interaction, you have a fellowship, you have an acceptance. You belong. You're not alone. You have a relationship. And yet how many people are willing just to get the monthly check from their Father in heaven? Like some people get their check from their dad who's off somewhere else. And I'm glad that dads aren't deadbeat and they're trying to take care of their kids, but it's different. It's different than a relationship. It's different than being raised in a home where the parents have stayed together and dad comes home and hugs his children and sits and eats dinner with them and goes out in the garage and does a project with them. There's difference. You know what a relationship is, right? Well, that's what salvation is. And God says, you just want my check. There's an awful lot of things besides salvation that people want. It just doesn't make any sense that people want that and are satisfied with that and never reach the point where they need, they hunger, they desire for salvation. To have that relationship with God where you know you're accepted by Him, so that even if He gave you none of these blessings, no monthly check, no allowance, nothing, all you had was dad at home. You have God in your life. And not God in your life as in He's your co-pilot and once in a while He talks to you. No, but God. Listen, just by the nature of the thing, if God is in your life, He's in control. He's God. He does whatever He wants. You ought to tremble in fear and just the thinking about God and who He is and what He's like. I mean, He made it all. And someday you're going to come face to face with Him and see Him as He is. Amen. And oh my, every single person in the Bible that saw Him as He is fell at His feet like Amen. Dead.
Amen.
This is God. This is God. And yet He says, you want stuff that I can give you. And I got a lot of stuff. God's got a lot of stuff. You want this stuff, but you don't want Me. And this is where this Hebrew nation was. They wanted God's blessings. They wanted all that stuff. They just weren't very thrilled with the person that came that said, look, it's all in Me. Mary says, I want the eternal life. Jesus says, it's Me. I am eternal life. I am the resurrection, He says. I am the way. I am the truth.
Amen.
Says, Lord, teach us these things. It's Me. Look at Me. I am the embodiment of all your blessings. What you need is Me. You don't need more stuff. You don't need blessings. You just need Me.
Amen.
Wow. People are satisfied. Man, give us a little bit of liberty. Give us a little bit of personal empowerment. And we feel strong. And we feel independent. And we feel free. We got some freedom. We got liberty. We can vote them in and we can vote them out. We can do what we want. We can drive where we want. We can live where we want. We can do what we want. We've got education. We've got empowerment. We can get a job. We can quit our job. We got all this stuff and we're satisfied with that. But without salvation. And they're all over the world today. A whole lot of people got a whole lot of stuff. But they don't have salvation. They should not be satisfied. They still should be seeking. And they should be seeking Him with all their heart. But then you know what salvation is, right? It's personally knowing God. It's being made acceptable to Him.
Amen.
So that you're not filthy. So that you're not contaminated. Have you ever wanted to give God something? And you had to say, God, I want to give you praise. I want to give you my time. I want to give you my life. I want to give you something. But everything I have is contaminated.
Amen.
It's all filthy.
Amen.
God, I want to give it to you, but it's filthy. And it's all I've got. He got nothing to offer Him. Because it's just all, you want to give Him praise, but you've got your own self-will and pride mixed in with it. You want a witness for Him, but you're so full of yourself.
Amen.
You're so full of your own wisdom. You want to preach the gospel, but you're worried about your reputation and you're worried about, you got all kinds of stuff in the way and you can't give God anything. But you know what the Bible says? Salvation is where He makes the offering of the Gentiles acceptable to God. So that we can praise Him and it's acceptable. But we can worship Him and it's acceptable. And we can come in whatever rags we're dressed in. And God sees us in that brilliant white robe that He was dressed in on the Mount of Transfiguration. That white righteousness. That The beautiful garments of salvation, the Bible says. That's what salvation is. It's being made acceptable to God. It's having fellowship with God.
Amen.
It's being able to just to go into God's presence. Heck, like it says, we come boldly in His presence before the throne of grace. We boldly ask Him for stuff. We boldly come to Him and say, God, You're our Father. God, You've known us and You've loved us from the mother's womb. You've been over us and all these things. And then you accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You trust His Word and you give yourself. You make a decisive commitment to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As your Messiah, as your King, as your rightful Lord. And you say, I belong to Him. And then you're saved.
Amen.
That's what salvation is. Salvation is having Jesus Christ. It's knowing Him and being and belonging to Him.
Amen.
And Him belonging to you. That's what salvation is. And that's what you ought to want. That's it. And this is good stuff. I mean, this is good. You know, salvation is forgiveness of sins.
Yes, amen.
It's forgiveness. It's where you say, I am so sorry, Lord. And He says, forget it. It's done. It's past. It's over with. I've taken care of it. You never have to bring it up again. It's over with. I've forgiven it. And I've cleansed it. And I've wiped it clean. And nobody else can see it except your memory. That's the only record of it. It's just in your memory. There's no other remnant of it left. It's gone. You are forgiven.
Amen.
You're welcome. You can walk right into God's presence as if you were just as righteous as Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Have you got that? Have you got salvation?
Amen.
Is that what you have?
Amen.
Because that's what's valuable.
Amen.
You know, if you've got that, you don't need stuff.
Right.
You don't need a bank account. You don't need a home. You don't even need a bed to sleep in if you've got Jesus Christ. That's salvation. You know, you need salvation. That's what you ought to be going for. That's what you ought to be going for. Salvation of the soul.
Sure.
You need. You want that righteousness on the inside.
Yes.
You want that root on the inside.
Yes.
You want that new birth where God comes into your heart and begins to transform you from the inside out. That's salvation. It's a decisive faith in what the Bible says about Jesus.
Amen.
It's a decisive faith in what Jesus did on the cross for us. It's a complete commitment to what Jesus means and to what the Bible has to say about Him. That's what salvation is. It makes you a little bit fanatical.
Amen.
It turns your mind a little bit.
Yes, sir.
You become a transformed. The Bible says all things become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's all new. It's not the same old, same old. It's new. It's fresh. It's a fresh start right with God and in His presence and knowing that you're accepted by Him. Knowing that you belong to Him. Knowing that He has decided to take responsibility for you, that He will make sure you are raised again at the last day and that you are presented spotless in
Amen.
Front of God the Father.
Amen. Amen.
That's what salvation is. Someone asked me, does that mean once saved, always saved? Oh yeah, that's what that means.
Amen.
Once saved, always saved. That's not a pejorative. You can't put me down by saying I believe that. Of course I believe that. I wouldn't be saved at all if it wasn't always saved.
Amen.
It's forgiveness. You know what else it is? It's deliverance. It's deliverance from the jaws of hell.
Yes, sir.
Hell's got no power. The grave has no power. The devil has no power over those who are saved.
Amen.
But those who are not saved are taken captive by Him at His will. They're always susceptible, always vulnerable. They got all these demons all out in the world and they just move the opinions of men any way they want. They go down this fad for a while. They go down that fad for a while. I mean, right now it's homosexuality and fornication and freedom, you know, and all that stuff and fairness and equality. And oh yeah, they got all kinds of influence. But the person who's saved has Jesus Christ to take care of him and make sure he doesn't go off the wrong way.
Amen.
He's got that guide on the inside. It's called the Holy Spirit, born in our hearts so that we're saved, so that we are secure, so that we are certainly going to be raised again at the last day. It's deliverance from judgment. It's deliverance from the wrath of God, and the wrath of God is coming. Oh man, it's coming. And every single day, as they mount up the injustices and the oppression and the lies, and they mount up all the political nonsense, and they mount up all of their covetous practices, and all of their deceit, and all of their malignity, and all of their hatred for truth, and all of their hatred for Christians. They mount it all up, and wrath is building up. It's just building up, and wrath is coming. But he that is saved, he's delivered from all of that. It says he's delivered us from the wrath to come. He's delivered us. We don't have to fear his anger. When he gets smoking hot with anger, the Bible says the mountains are going to melt. But not under my feet. Not under my feet they're not going to melt. He says, I'm going to come for my own. That's salvation. I'm going to come for my own. They're mine. I want them to be with me. I promise I won't lose not even one of them.
Amen.
Not one of them, not one of them, not one of them all over the world. I don't care how far away. I don't care how deep they've fallen. I don't care how alone they feel. I will not lose one of them.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the promise. That's what he said.
Amen.
Maybe you believe that.
Amen.
You say, wow, that's what salvation is. I'm saved.
Amen.
Did you know what you were getting when you came so humbly to God and said, God, forgive me of my sins? I've heard that Jesus died for me and that would be all you would take. And that you would accept it if I would accept it. And I accept it. God, would you give me eternal life? Would you give me salvation? And did you know what he gave you?
Amen.
The Bible says he wrote down your name in heaven.
Yep.
It's written down. It's written down. And it's not written down where you can erase it.
Yeah.
It's written down in heaven. And he's not going to erase it. He knows you. He has taken responsibility for you.
Amen.
Jesus tells God the Father, he says, this one's mine.
Amen.
No wrath. No judgment. Did you know you're not going to go to the judgment?
You,
did you know the Bible's going to call you by name and you're going to come out of that grave 1,000 years before the judgment?
Amen.
You're going to come out of the grave because he knows your name. Just like he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Someday, he's going to tell your name, come forth.
Amen.
And you're going to come out of that grave. And that's what it is. That's what it is. That's salvation.
Amen.
It's forgiveness of sins. It's deliverance from judgment. It's deliverance from death. It's deliverance from the jaws of hell. It's deliverance from your sin. Think about it. God every day won't let you go.
Thank you, Lord.
He won't let you do what you thought. He punishes you. He brings you back. He says, he chastises every son whom he receiveth. Everyone. There's not a one he just lets go.
Thank you, Lord.
You say, well, I've never felt it. Well, man, you need to get saved.
Amen.
Every son, every single son that he receives, he chastises.
Thank you, Lord.
It's salvation. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. You know, he offers it to every single person.
Thank you, Lord.
There is not a soul on earth that can't take advantage of that promise. All they got to do is say, I want it. I want it. Not just the stuff that comes along with it. I want it. I want Jesus Christ and everything that comes with Him. I want to give my life to Him. I want to belong to Him. I want Him to accept me. I want Him to wash away my sins. I want Him to give me eternal life. I want His Holy Spirit to guide me. I want Him to be my Father. I want to be His Son. I want to follow His Word. I want to live for Him.
Amen.
That's what I want.
Amen.
And anybody who wants it can have it.
Yes.
Because Jesus said so.
Yes.
This isn't a pipe dream.
Amen.
This isn't something we're making up. This isn't some fantasy and fiction novel that we're doing.
Right.
No, we're not just following a fantasy. We're just believing what he says. He says, anybody, whosoever.
Amen.
If you want it, it's yours.
I do. Amen, Lord.
And if you don't want it, okay. That's your choice. But that's salvation. That's what salvation is. Here he says there's something that accompanies salvation. Something comes along with salvation. That, by definition, is not salvation itself. And I got to thinking, what's he talking about? You reckon that when somebody gets saved, he gets happy? You reckon joy accompanies salvation? You reckon somebody doesn't start singing with a good, deep-throated voice after he gets salvation, after he gets saved, he don't start thinking he's got a good voice? I've heard it. I've heard people who think they got a good voice because they got saved. They got saved and they sing! Oh my, they sing! Two steps behind and off key. Oh yeah, they sing though, but you look at the big old smile on their face like as if they could hear themselves. Man. You reckon that something that accompanies salvation might be thanksgiving? Wow, thank you, Lord. Just a complete contentment with God, with what He's given. You know, not the complaining about, oh my, I don't have this, and somebody else has more than me, and oh my, oh what am I going to do? You know, I don't like my boss, I don't like my work, I don't like my country, I don't like all this stuff. No, how about if somebody gets saved, and all of a sudden, they just think, wow, thank you. How about they start praising? They start saying, you know how good God is? Have you ever noticed how good God is? My, I think God's good.
Amen.
You know, they start talking about creation. They stop talking about how the wonderful adaptation of Mother Nature. And they start talking about God who's so incredibly intelligent and brilliant. And look what He's done. Wow, look what God has done. Man, you reckon somebody who gets saved gets so happy, gets so joyful, they just can't wait to get to church? They don't want to miss church. Now, I know people who don't have salvation, they're willing to go to church if they think it might make them more prosperous. If it might, you know, make their children a little better behaved. That's the reason why a whole lot of people go to church. But that's not why I go to church. I go to church because I can't wait to get there. I want to be there. I like the singing. I even like Brent singing. I like Dale singing. I like your singing. Maybe I like y'all singing because I can sing louder than you. I can sing louder than you, and I like to sing. I like to hear people talk about the Bible. I like to hear somebody say, praise the Lord. I like to hear people say, amen. I even like that old word, hallelujah, for the cross. I like those words. I think those are good words. Man. You think somebody who gets saved might have a real hunger for the Word of God? They just can't get enough. They want to talk about it. Have you ever noticed that some people don't want to talk about it? I've actually taken my Bible and said, well, let me show you something. And they grab it and close it. They say, no, I don't want to get into that. Well, why would you close my Bible? I was going to show you something in the Bible. Why would you close it? What is the ulterior motive? What's in your mind that makes you automatically reach out with your hands and grab my Bible and shut it? I had already found the verse. I was going to point to it with my finger. It happens. People don't want the Bible. They don't want to. Don't be quoting the Bible, they'll say. Oh, no. No more Bible thumping preaching. We don't like that kind. Don't talk about the Bible. We don't want to talk about the Bible. Why don't you stand up and do a comedy routine or something? Anything but the Bible. Let's not talk about creation. Let's not talk about what Genesis says. Let's not talk about Abraham sacrificing Isaac. No, let's not talk about Joseph in the dungeon, the deepest dungeon. Let's not talk about the den of lions. No, let's not talk about Jonah. Let's not talk about Jesus walking on water or feeding 5,000 people. Let's not talk about the passion of Christ where He has to walk all that way and carrying His cross. Let's not talk about Him dying on the cross and shedding His blood. Let's not talk about Him rising again from the dead or going to heaven and carrying with Him captivity captive. Let's not talk about that stuff. That stuff's boring. Let's talk about that latest video game, rated M for mature.
All right, brother.
Dumbest phrase on television, rated M for mature. I know some of you like that stuff. Rated M for mature. Let me tell you something. That's what they want to talk about. Let's talk about the Cowboys.
All right.
Okay, let's talk about the Texans. Let's talk about the Spurs. Let's talk about the weather. Like anybody can't just look outside and see what it is. See? You know what I find? That when people get saved, they want to talk about the Bible. What does this verse mean? What do you think that verse means? Man, I've spent till 4 o'clock in the morning talking about the Bible. And then we're still not tired. We still want to talk about it some more.
Amen.
You know, you can actually miss a meal talking about the Bible.
Amen.
You just completely forget that you were hungry.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can just get excited about the Bible. Do you know people get zealous about the Bible? They want to know what it means. They want to know if we're right. They want to know, explain to me why. Let's find out some more. You know, they start getting hungry for it. They hunger for the book. You know why they want to go to church? They want to hear somebody talk about the book that might know something about it.
Right.
And they want them to prove it out of the book. We're not interested in extra revelation. We don't need more revelation. We just need to understand what we've already got. Just explain the book to me. You know what I think also accompanies salvation? And that is a real love for God's people. I want to be around like-minded believers.
Amen.
I want to be around somebody who loves Jesus.
Amen.
And not afraid to say so. I want to be around somebody who just likes who wants to be around me. I want to be around somebody who likes to talk about the things I like to talk about.
Amen.
Man, I just can't get enough of the church because I love God's people.
Amen.
You know, some people come to church and they don't like God's people.
Amen.
I say, well, man,
Amen.
He's a fat slob. Why is he here? What are all these people here for? Have you noticed this person? He smells. That person can't talk. That person, he shouldn't be allowed to share in the open meetings.
Right.
But you know, people who get saved, they like the open meetings.
Yeah,
I know. People make fools of themselves in the open meetings. I understand that. People say some really boneheaded things. And people who probably should speak 2 minutes, speak 15 minutes. I know about the open meetings, but I can't get enough of them. I just can't get enough of them. I want more. Somebody going to call out the same song again. Yeah, they will, and we'll have to sing it. Dale used to call out the same song more than once in a meeting. Man. But I can't get enough of the I can't get enough of the church. I want church. I wish we had more meetings. Man. You know, another thing that follows accompanies salvation is you have a testimony. God begins doing something in your life and you become an example to other people. You say, well, that hadn't happened in me yet. Well, man, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Something's got to change in your life. Something has to move. I mean, when people look at you, they've got to say, wow, something happened to you. What happened to you? What changed in you? Somebody was telling me just yesterday that somebody was criticizing them for the way they lived before they were Christian, and somebody else in the family steps in and says, but wait a minute, have you noticed that for so many decades now, they've just been consistent in the way they live, and they've just changed, they're just different. Haven't you noticed that? Haven't you noticed it? Yeah, I've noticed it. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and most of them know somebody that's been changed. I was preaching on the street and a fella came, he was from the Methodist church, and he said, you know, sometimes y'all preach things that I just am not comfortable with. I think Jesus was more uplifting. And I said, well, yeah, well, sometimes Jesus was pretty hard on sinners. I said, but even though, you know, we'd like to be uplifting and that's all wonderful and everything, I said, the truth is, some people really get saved. If you'll just preach the gospel, some people really get saved. They get transformed. I'm not talking about good Christian people that go to church all the time and have never noticed it. And if they got changed, you wouldn't be able to see much change. I'm talking about people who have been against God and lived against God and walked against God and done what God told them not to do. And then someday, somebody preaches hard, not a very uplifting message. They didn't say how good you are and how much God loves you and how much you've got to offer God and my God has a wonderful plan for your life. What they said was you're a sinner and you need to repent. And they heard it and they heard the Spirit of God and they repented. And they got transformed.
Amen.
I asked him, have you ever seen that happen? Because it happens. He says, yeah, I've seen it. I said, well, if you've ever seen it, then you'll know what we're shooting for. We're not trying to be uplifting. We're trying to get people saved. Somebody transformed. Somebody turned around. Somebody completely different. Because God did something in their lives. Man, you know what accompanies salvation? Is a gradual progress toward holiness, toward godliness, toward being more like God, toward making us more patient, making us more forgiving, making us more merciful, making us more appreciative of the good things, whatsoever things are good and honest and of good report and worthy of praise. And these things, that's what God leads us to. That's what accompanies salvation. Did you know that's what accompanies salvation? Did you know that if you get saved, God leads you into holiness? It's called sanctification. It's what accompanies salvation. But you know, there's something else that accompanies salvation. Heaven.
Amen.
God didn't have to do that. Yeah. You know what He said? He said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah, amen.
He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Heard a guy say, well, that shouldn't be translated mansions, that should be translated house. So in my Father's house, there are many houses. That didn't make sense to me. But whatever, it doesn't have to make sense. The fact is, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes, sir.
And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Amen.
And receive you unto myself.
Amen.
That where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
You know, He didn't have to do that. But He says, I want to.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to be with me.
Yes.
Did you know what accompanies salvation? It's a promise that He's going to come again and receive you unto Himself. And He's going to have a place for you.
Amen.
Wow. That accompanies salvation. Did you know God's got that prepared for you? He's got a mansion preparing for you. He's preparing it for you. My. Did you know what accompanies salvation is answers to prayer?
Amen.
He says, whatever you want,
yes, sir.
Ask for it. You might be surprised what I'm willing to give you. And you know, I've noticed how much God wants to give us stuff. You ought to just ask for stuff. You ought to just say, God, you know, I want this. Ask for patience. See if He don't just give you some tribulation. He just might do it. It's an answer to prayer. He'll give you patience. Ask for holiness. Ask for victory over your besetting sin.
Amen.
Ask for victory over that drinking habit you got. Ask for victory over that cussing habit you got.
Amen.
Why don't you just ask Him for it? You say, well, I don't make enough money. Ask for it. That's not salvation. He doesn't have to give you that. But it accompanies salvation. He says His ears are open to our prayer. They're attentive to our cries. What is it that you want? What is it that you need? He says, I'm a God that answers prayer. I'm a God that is always there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We ought to be content with such things as we have. Why? Because He's with us. He says, I'll give you. What is it that you need? You don't need it. Listen, I was at the auto parts the other day, and he says, well, you want to keep these seals? I was getting new rotors for my brakes, and I popped off the seals. You want to keep these seals? You could store them. You could store them and have them for the next time. And I said, no, I've decided I'm going to let y'all store my stuff. When I need it, I'll come and get it from y'all. I don't have enough room to store all my stuff. Why do you need to store all your stuff? You've got Him. He's the unending supply. You can always just go there and get what you need. You don't need to store it. You don't need the big taller shelves and bigger barns. All you got to do is just say, I've got God. He'd give me whatever I need, whenever I need it. I don't have to carry it on my back the whole way.
All right, amen.
He had the ravens out there for Elijah, I think. I mean, they were bringing him food. Well, you can't beat that. You tell that crow, I'll take a Krispy Kreme donut this time. Wow. Man. Did you know he offers you rewards?
Amen.
Did you know God is a rewarder?
Yes, sir.
He gave you salvation. What do you need rewards for? I don't know, but they accompany salvation. You get rewards. He's talking about riches.
Right.
He talks about riches in heaven. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Anybody had that experience? Thieves break through and steal. Don't lay up your treasures on earth. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Did you know He's got treasures in heaven for you? You don't need treasures in heaven. You don't need any of that stuff. It accompanies salvation. It's just an added gift. It's a reward. It's a reward. Did you know He offers beauty?
Thank you, Lord.
What He says? He offers beauty. He offers authority. He offers usefulness. Let me tell you something else that accompanies salvation. It's called friendship with God.
Amen.
The fact that you can have fellowship with God is a huge thing, but that's part of salvation. Let me tell you what is beyond salvation, and that's friendship with God.
Amen.
He called Abraham His friend.
Amen.
Jesus told His disciples, He said, I've called you friends now. Servants, I understand, and we are servants, and He is the Master, and He is our God, and He's our Lord, and He's
Amen.
Sovereign, and He does as He pleases,
Amen.
And we bow down in awesome reverence and fear in front of Him, yes, but He says, come here, I've called you friends. He says He's going to sit us down at His table, and He's going to serve us. I didn't make that up. It's right there in Luke. He says, I'm going to sit you down at My table, and I'm going to gird Myself, and I'm going to serve you. Things that accompany salvation. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to love us.
Amen.
He doesn't have to be friends with us. He doesn't have to care. He could just give us salvation and that would be, wow,
Amen.
That would be big. He could just forgive us our sins and that would be big. You know, some people are just satisfied with salvation. I know we can look at these others and say they're very foolish because they're just satisfied with stuff. They don't need salvation to be happy. They just got a new car. They're happy. They don't need forgiveness of sins to be happy. They've got a house to live in and it's a nice place and a nice neighborhood, gated community and all that stuff. And they got their channels and they got their stuff and they're satisfied with that. They don't want salvation. We say, how foolish. You could have salvation. If you had salvation, you wouldn't even care about that stuff. You'd have forgiveness of sins. You'd have rightness with God. You would have promises and wonderful blessings and a Holy Spirit. And oh yeah, salvation's better. But you know, some people are satisfied just with salvation. They love this world so much, they don't even want the rapture to happen. Wow. They're not interested in the end of the world and Jesus' glory and the coming kingdom. They're not interested in seeing God as He is and being transformed into His likeness. They just want some more of this good stuff down here. You see, because they're satisfied with being forgiven of their sins and having Jesus Christ on their side and being able to pray and get a little prosperity and blessing. It's amazing how they can have salvation and not want all of it. Not want everything that comes with it. We're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, He says, though we thus speak. It's about that salvation brings you a whole lot more than you might have expected. It brings an overcoming life. It brings joy that you cannot explain. It brings such a satisfaction in knowing God so that you can go to Him in prayer and just be amazed at His presence. Just be awed by who He is. It brings you, it's a salvation experience that gives you much more than what He has to give you. It's things that accompany salvation. You know what the conclusion is, of course? Don't settle. Don't be so content. Get a little vision. Lift up your eyes. Go for something better. You know that unending, never-ending usefulness to God is in our future.
Amen.
Somebody said the other day, I wonder if He's going to give us planets to settle and to rule. Maybe. He's got lots of them. Maybe you want a planet to rule. I don't know, but God's got something. He's got something out there for us. Forever, never-ending usefulness to Him. Don't settle.
Amen. All right.
Don't be satisfied with the TV programming we got. It's pitiful, folks. It's pitiful. Don't be satisfied with the Spurs winning another championship. That's nothing. Man, there's something else. There's more to it. There's souls to be saved. There's glory to be seen. I'm telling you. There's something that God has to offer His own. It's something that accompanies salvation. I wonder if there's somebody in here You know you're not saved yet. You haven't made that decisive decision of faith in Jesus Christ. You haven't given your life to Him. He's there for you. He's waiting. He's commissioned everyone in this room to tell you, you're welcome. You can be saved. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be out of His will. You don't have to be judged according to your works. You can be saved. If you know you're not saved and you want to be saved, and you want to know what the next step is for you, just raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. You need to be saved. You say, I want to be saved. I want to know what I got to do now. I'm not satisfied with the stuff God gives me. I want His salvation. I want Him in my life. Just raise your hand. I'll talk to you. Well, you Christians, you know you got something else? You got something that ought to accompany salvation? Amen. Lord, I ask You for this congregation because we come here in Your name wanting to worship You and serve You, and we just have nothing terribly valuable to offer You, God, except praise. We tell You we love You and we think You're wonderful. We thank You for salvation, and we thank You for all the gifts You give us that accompany salvation. Lord, we thank You. God, don't let us settle for a mediocre existence. God, give us all these things that You have for us. Make us to see, make us to want, make us to press on for the mark of the high calling of God. God, give us that ambition, that desire for You. God, bless our church. Bless our desire. Lord, bless our ministries and bless our meeting tonight, Lord. I ask You to bless this congregation as we go our separate ways. Bless those that are sick and couldn't make it today. Amen. God, raise them up. And we put all this into Your hands. We love You and we'll praise You and give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight.